Okay, I just want to begin by recognizing Alex Mack, Joe Thomas, for their selections to the Pro Bowl. Certainly, as we all know, that's an individual honor, but certainly this football's team first, and these guys both epitomize a team first mentality, and I don't know if we could have two better guys represent the Browns. I know for Alex, this is his third, and Joe, it's just, you know, as I joked last year, that they should rename the game, you know, Joe Thomas and Friends Pro Bowl. But to that accomplishment, when you sit back and look at it, you know, nine years is pretty special. And he's done so much for the team, so much for the organization. Just a model of consistency. You know, leads by example, and has that leadership trait that he makes people around him better. And then going back to Alex, it's just great to see him recognize just what he went through to get back. And I know he started the year slow, and but he's been playing his best football over the last his last several weeks, and you know it's a statement to his you know, to his perseverance, how hard he worked, and it's again good to see. You know, for Gary, for Travis, for Batty, to be recognized, you know, at the alternates. I think that's great to see too. You know, hopefully that these are all guys that find a way to Hawaii. It would certainly be well deserved. You know, three more good examples of guys that put the team above themselves. From a game standpoint, no hiding from it. You know, it's another difficult challenge. You know, it's very similar script to last week. We're going to go on the road to a tough environment, playing a team that's on a roll. I guess now they've won 8 in a row, fighting for a playoff spot. Very difficult place to play, especially late in the year. But it's a challenge that we look forward to. We're going to, you know, have a good couple days of prep. You know, and go out there, step up to the plate, and take a big swing at it. On the injury front, well, I'll finish talking about them. Kansas City's offense, very efficient. I think it starts with the quarterback, that he's not turning the ball over. You know, that he's more likely to take a sack than he is to force a throw. But he does a really good job for them, going where the ball, you know, knowing where it needs to go, and getting the ball there. Their run game, I think what they do schematically, a lot of the zone read stuff. So it still falls back to Seattle. There's some parallels there. Travis Kelce just named to the Pro Bowl, and that's well deserved. He's playing at extremely high level. He's their go-to guy. Defensively, you know, Tom Bahali seems to be ageless. You know, still plays with an extremely high motor, very passionate. You can see he loves football, and it shows up in how he plays. Dontari Poe is a force inside, gets good push, can be very disruptive to a run game. He's a better pass rusher than people give him credit for. And on the back end, you know, it's hard to overlook Eric Berry, who's, you know, what he's overcome to come back this year and play. And it was great to see him recognized yesterday as well with his nod to the Pro Bowl. You know, teams wise, they do a good job. You know, this is Tabe's mentor he's going against. So I know this is a big week for us on teams as well. On the injury front, we will have some guys missed today. Duke will be limited somewhat with a hamstring. I'm not sure how many reps he'll get, but Alex Mack, Joe Thomas, you know, Alex has a calf, and Joe Thomas, the knee, will not work today. But hopefully we'll get them back in some form or fashion tomorrow. Glenn Winston is still in the protocol, and then we'll be a little bit, you know, wide receiver wise, or Taylor Gabriel will miss today. He's dealing with a personal issue, family related, as is Isaiah Crowell. So those guys will be back later in the week, but they will not be here today. But they've been excused from practice. I'll go ahead and open it up.
So where do you rank Alex Smith?
Oh, I'm not going there. No, he's when you look at why they have won eight in a row, I think that's the easy answer when you look at it. He is playing at a very high level. I think Andy Reid does an outstanding job of matching what he has talent wise to the scheme. Takes advantage of what his guys do, and Alex was a mobile quarterback coming out, and he hasn't lost that through his NFL career, and they're doing a lot of good things that put him on the run and stress the defense.
Is he an example then, Mike, of how you don't give up on a quarterback? I mean, he was nothing like this, it seemed, in San Francisco. Otherwise, they probably killed
him. Well, I think it just falls back to what we've talked about before, that if you can see it in the quarter, if he's capable of doing it, and you surround him with the right people and the right scheme, then that's how you judge it. I mean, a quarterback is only going to be as good as his supporting cast, and you also have to make sure that you're allowing him to do things that he can do, that he's good, that he can excel at. You know, if a guy's not a pocket passer, don't let him be one. If he's not a sprint out guy, don't put him on the move. But get a guy, when a guy is comfortable in what he's doing and he's confident in it, then you can see him. But no, he's a good example, and I think it proves the point too that sometimes you when a quarterback's not successful, a lot of times he gets too much of the blame, and when he is successful, sometimes he gets too much of the credit. I mean, he's only one. I mean, it's a big part. I mean, I wouldn't say it's exactly 1/11th, but there are 10 other guys out there that his success or failure depends on.
Selections at tight end, and just, I know we've talked about it a bunch of times, but just how surprising is
I've said this before, it's not surprising to the people that know him, just because we saw glimpses of it a year ago, even when he was the second, or when Jordan was out. But as far as ranking him with those other guys, I'm not going to go there, but did Gary Barnage play at a Pro Bowl level this year? Absolutely. And that's why we're hopefully he can find a way into the game.
Sort of a skinny on Mac, you know, conventional wisdom was that he started slow this year. Has he been at a – just talk about his level since last –
He's improved. He has improved. He was not anywhere – I mean, that injury, it occurred, middle of the year last year, and there was – it was more than just a broken ankle. I mean, there was some – it was ligament damage. I mean, there was a lot for him to overcome, and we all see in the spring it was even a matter of, you know, I always talked about some of those guys that practice so hard you got to save them from themselves a little bit, and he had a tough time with that because he wants to go full speed all the time, and there's no substitute for time with that, and I think it's a lot of times with those injuries, whether it's a knee or something that where it was that devastating of an injury, that I think that the body part, whatever it is, gets to the point where structurally it's fine, but it's so much more the mental, the ability to trust it. I think we all saw that with Travis, just to stick the foot in the ground and make a cut where it's more of a mental block than it is a physical. And I think Alex, like anybody else having gone through that, went through the same thing, and he's gotten to the point where, and you can ask him this, but it appears to us he's much more confident in it than he was earlier in the year.
Is he at the level now that he was at the beginning of last year?
Yeah, I don't know if you can make that statement. I just know he's improved significantly from the start of the season, and he's back now. And if you just look at his last month, he is playing at a high level.
Last follow-up real quick. One could surmise that this would help a free agent's bargaining position to make the Pro Bowl. Do you think at all about his possibility he could opt out of his contract?
He could. That's we don't have much control over that. However, that's his personal decision, and you know that it's in his favor that he has that in his contract, and we'll react accordingly. I mean, Alex Mack's a Cleveland Brown. We'd love to have him here and be a part of what we're doing, but that's a decision that'll be made down the road.
How would you respond to a Hall of Fame left tackle, a Pro Bowl center? The other parts aren't that bad either. So given the ranking of the team's running game, how would you just answered that. Why is the running game in the 30s?
Oh, it's I think that's a function of a lot of things that it this year was a different year. I think it took us a while to figure out who we were with from a staff standpoint, figuring out where we were schematically. Having to make the change at offensive line coach was something that was difficult to overcome. We all know what transpired there. But it's the running game's not just a function of the offensive line, and I've said that all along. It's the tight ends, it's the receivers blocking, it's the backs making the right reads. We went against who's who in the top 10 in the NFL. We've gone against some pretty good fronts, and there were games we went into saying running the ball will be an afterthought, that we need to throw it first to set up the run. But we've had some recent success, and that's been good to see. Hopefully we have two more weeks to continue it.
Danny Shelton, season high in tackles against Seattle. What did you see from him? Would you say it's his best game that he's had this year?
I'd say it's up there. I don't know if I can definitively say that was his best one, but he's another guy who is – sometimes you see rookies that kind of play well early and then it starts to drop off the proverbial rookie wall. That's not the case with Danny, that he's doing a good job. He's getting better. I think he's learning. As I've said all along, there's no substitute for live game reps. That he's played a good amount of snaps, and he's getting to experience against some veteran offensive linemen and learn the tricks of the trade. And I think he's been able to start to apply them on the field. And he's got a much better understanding of what we're trying to do. And then even more so what the other team's trying to do. What do backfield sets mean? What do line splits mean? Are we doing a good job gathering pre-snap information, line calls? If they make a certain call, does that mean run or pass? Being able to apply that and all that stuff that we talk about, instead of just lining up and playing, being able to process information pre-snap and use it without overloading yourself and slowing it down. He's done a good job with it. Now, you throw in those other two rookies that I think have followed a similar course, that they're playing well of late, is Xavier Cooper and Nate Orchard.
Would you rather it that way, that they, obviously, of course, I would rather them probably get better as the season goes on. But is that something that's come with his confidence, or because he's been pretty hard on himself this season?
Oh, and you want guys that are like that. He didn't walk in here thinking he had the NFL all figured out and knew that there was a learning curve that he was going to be on. No, and that's – you want all your guys, as they log more game experience, that they have the ability to use it moving forward and tuck those coachable, those teaching moments away and be able to apply them and not be, as I always like to say, a repeat offender from a mistake standpoint. Hey, that guy got – they got me on that one time. That's not going to happen again.
Hey, Mike – Taylor Gabriel's yards per catch average is about 10 yards less, I think, than it was last year. What is the reason for that?
I'm sure that's a function of a lot of things. Some of it's schematic, some of the routes that maybe Kyle had him running last year aren't necessarily some of the ones that we have him running. So, and then he's missed some time. But I don't get caught too much up in the numbers. Is it we call a play? He needs to know where to line up. He needs to know what his job is. I think last year that he snuck up on some teams and hit some big plays, and people are a little bit more aware of who he is and what he's capable of. But I don't see it as his plays has dropped off. He gets a lot of pluses on the grade sheet, and that's all we can ask. Go out and do your job.
Like you talked about Alex Smith protecting the ball, where do you think Johnny's growth is in that department, and then how important will it be against the Chiefs defense that turned over?
Well, it was unfortunate, the fumble that he had in the Seattle game, because there were a couple instances when he was in traffic in that game where he did a much better job of securing the football. That if you go, Kevin made the point in the coaches' meeting that if that had been the Jets game, just a marked difference in his ball security, and you have to have that in this league. You turn the ball over as a quarterback, you know, that's going to be the death knell for a game. I mean, that you just can't do it. He's you could tell he's made a conscious effort just having better awareness. I mean, there's been a couple examples of him getting out of the pocket where he's peeked behind him, where early in the year he got caught. I forget what game it was, but a guy got him from behind and the ball came out. So I just think he has a better sense of, I can go ahead and get out, but I have to make sure that where are my nearest threats.
Does it bother you? It looks like he put the ball on his left hand a couple times when he's scrambling out of the pocket. Does that bother you at all?
As long as he doesn't lose it and as long as he's not trying to throw it left-handed, unless he's trying to just find a way to get rid of it. But no, we want the ball secure. I know there's some times where you're going to your left and you feel you got a threat coming your right, that if you got to get the ball. But it's the one thing, he does have strong hands. But no, we want all of our quarterbacks to have great ball security.
Mike, when I was Joe Thomas, when you were a coordinator, what were the thoughts that went through your mind as you tried to devise a scheme to contend with Thomas?
He's the type of player, and I was around Ogden in Baltimore for a long time, that sometimes you get to the point where you just feel like you're banging your head into a stump. So you try to minimize his. Do you put your best pass rusher over there in the event that he's going to get canceled by that guy? Sometimes you just put a guy over there to have him occupy Joe. He's one of those tackles. And you try to find you're always looking for the mismatch. It's not often that you would look at our lineup offensive line wise and say we have a big advantage of our pass rusher versus Joe. So you always try to find, you know, see how when you're evaluating offensive linemen, you'll make a cut up of the tapes when defensive linemen ran games against them. What games do they have issues with? And you know, Joe's seen it all. I mean, whether it's the end going first, the tackle going, I mean, all those games, he's seen them all. So it's very difficult to scheme against it. You're almost better off saying, hey, let that one for, we'll trade one for one over there. Let's see if we can find a better matchup somewhere else.
Michael, over the last two weeks, guys have come out and supported you and really said that, you know, they want you and coaching staff to come back, you know, especially even Johnny Manziel, who you had to bench this year. So what does it mean to you that team leaders such as Joe Thomas, Gary Barnes, Johnny Manziel, Dante Whitner come out with that kind of support?
It's good to hear, but, I mean, we're – you know, as a coaching staff, you hope that you're running a program that the players enjoy being in, and they respect the men that they work for. And when you hear comments like that, that you know, reinforces that. But at the same time, we all know that you know, this, I've said it a million times, is a bottom line business: pass or fail. And unfortunately, we've failed more than we've passed. We also feel that we've planted some seeds for growth here but as I stress to the players all the time, control the controllables. And for us as a coaching staff, it's we're going to prepare like heck to get our team ready for Kansas City and next week for Pittsburgh, and we're going to coach our butts off, and hopefully we can get our guys the same, preparing hard, practicing hard, playing hard. And then as I said before, whatever happens, but you know, to answer your question, I mean, it's good to hear, but it's still, you know, we're still pressing forward for two more weeks.
Specifically, Johnny, where people think that you guys, you know, are at odds with each other, and again, you had to bench him. Is that meaningful?
Well, no. I think it just reinforces what I've said all along from a personal standpoint. I mean, he and I get along very well. I mean, if you just eliminate that incident where it was, you know, I felt like, you know, I was doing my job and doing what was best for the team and doing what was best for him. And I think it, you know, hopefully he respects that. But I also know that from an interaction standpoint that, you know, when he's here, I have a ton of respect for him because of A, what he's gone through personally, and B, how he has earned the respect of the guys around him. That we all know what he did, but at the same time, the player, when you hear the other players come out and support him, because they see it. They see him ultra prepared. They see him seamlessly calling plays in the huddle and getting guys lined up and knowing where to go with the ball and doing his job. That's there's no substitute for hard work to get to that point. And he's put it in. He's done it. So from a coaching staff standpoint, I mean, there's the football trust is there. I mean, we all know about the hiccup, but the football trust is there. So it's not surprising. I mean, I've said it up here that he and I have a very good relationship. Kevin O'Connell, John DeFilippo, it's all very positive with the quarterback room. And would be surprised if that wasn't a two-way street.
Mike, when Joe Hayden went on IR, we got a statement from him saying that, you know, specialists think that he's going to be able to return. Hawkins, we didn't get anything. So do you have any sense what the outlook on his future is?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a tricky subject, and any time you have a concussion that lingers for as long as Joe's did and Hawks did, that you're going to be ultra cautious with it. And I know, you know, Hawk sought out a second opinion, as he should, and I know he'll get reevaluated in a period of time. Want him to take a little bit more time, then go back. I won't go into the details, but hopefully at some point that we can make that same statement with Hawk. But it's just nothing that you ever want to risk. Or I mean, we'll always take the very conservative route, as we should, with situations like this. And it was great news with Joe to hear that, because I know it's 2015's been a struggle for him, and it's tough for him to come in this building and know. As I said before, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected, and for him to be penciled in to have such a prominent role, and then have the season not go the way that he wanted it to go, and have that sense of I want to be out there, and I feel like I'm letting people down, and he can't be. It's been frustrating, but I don't think anyone's more frustrated than those two guys, because they both see themselves, they're both competitors, and they both want to be out there.